coming up today on Telling the Truth.
The next time you're tempted, that's a battle, isn't it? Maybe you're tired, maybe you're vulnerable, you're hurting, you're struggling, and temptation starts rushing over you like a flood stage stream in Texas. And you feel like the waves are going to wash you away. And you think it's hopeless. I've just got to go with this temptation. No, you don't. Because in the midst of it, you're going to remember this battle I'm in, it's only half the story. There are forces at work on me right now, and I need to address that.
But how do you address it? This time on Telling the Truth, Pete Briscoe offers insight into our spiritual battle. It's a perspective you may never have considered before, and Pete shares it with you coming up. Here at Telling the Truth, we depend on you to keep us broadcasting both over the air and online. And right now, we want to invite you to become one of 100 new Telling the Truth monthly partners. Your continuing monthly support will make a big impact in the lives of others all over the world. And it's a vital part of helping us keep the teaching you love on the air. To say thank you for your first monthly gift, we'll send you Pete's new 2-message teaching on spiritual warfare, Confronting the Enemy, and his booklet, A Defeated Foe. Please call today, 1-800-889-5388, to become a new Telling the Truth monthly partner and request Pete's fantastic series and booklet on how to defeat Satan's attacks. The number again, 1-800-889-5388. This is the last week and time is running out. Call now, 1-800-889-5388. Now here's Pete with a message about spiritual warfare from a different perspective, the unseen battle.
Do you have your Bibles? I hope you do. Turn to Daniel chapter 10. Daniel chapter 10, verse 1. If you were a believer back in the 80s and you read books, you probably read this one. I'm going to read a portion of it to you, and we'll see if any of you can remember which one it was. Could anyone have seen him? The initial impression would not have been so much his reptilian warted appearance as the way his figure seemed to absorb light and not return it, as if he were more a shadow than an object, a strange animated whole in space. But this little spirit was invisible to the eyes of men, unseen and immaterial, drifting over the town, banking one way and then the other, guided by will and not wind, his swirling wings quivering in a grayish blur as they propelled him. He was like a high-strung little gargoyle, his hide a slimy, bottomless black, his body thin and spider-like, half humanoid, half animal, totally demon. Two huge yellow cat eyes bulged out of his face, darting to and fro, peering and searching. His breath came in short, sulfurous gasps, visible as glowing yellow vapor. He was carefully watching and following his charge, the driver of a brown Buick moving through the streets of Ashton, far below. Many of you, the summer this came out, read this story of the little hamlet Ashton and the Whitmore College that was found there, and the amazing cosmic battle that was going on overhead between demons like the ones just described and these remarkable angels. This Present Darkness, some of you read it, by Frank Peretti. I remember reading it. I was in my early 20s at the time. And I remember in my mind's eye imagining the angels as kind of a cross between Fabio and John Cena. You know, that's the image I had in my mind, like Fabio up here with the flow and John Cena with the body and the clash between these slithery, reptilian, nasty demons and these stud angels was mesmerizing to me. I graduated from college. I hadn't gone to seminary yet. And this book actually, like it did for many people, kind of brought the whole thing of spiritual warfare to the forefront for me. And I started imagining that this battle that I find myself in here might simply be half the story. I've shared with you a personal experience that was somewhat staggering for me along these lines. Early in my time here, I was learning how to preach, and And it was hard for me, and I was working really hard at it, and there was a lot of pressure I was putting on myself. And I would find myself having these nightmares, and I'd never had nightmares before, but they were awful. The kind that I would start screaming in the middle of the night, and Libby would literally have to wake me up, and I would take a while to wake up, and then she would be saying, "It's okay, it's okay." And I would not tell her what I was dreaming because it was so horrific, I didn't even want to verbalize it. And then all of a sudden we realized there was a pattern, that I was only having these dreams on Saturday nights. On Saturday nights when I was preaching, when I was on vacation on Saturday night, I didn't get these dreams. I mentioned it to one of my elders one day, and he said, "Well, we need to be praying for you." So we talked about it as an elder team, and they promised to start praying for me every Saturday night, that God would make sure that there were no nasty satanic type dreams so that I could rest. And the dreams stopped. About 4 years later, I had nasty dreams on a Saturday night. And I had an elder meeting later that week, and I said, "Guys, were you praying for me Saturday night? Because I had this nasty dream." And one by one, their heads all dropped, and they admitted to me that they'd forgotten. And I'm like, "Guys, come on, you can't forget this. This is important. It's like hard for me if you forget." And we laughed about it, and I expanded the circle a little bit more, shared with a few more people, asked them to pray, and never had the nightmares again. And you've experienced, many of you, similar types of things where you start to wonder, wow, maybe this battle I'm in here is only half the story. But fictional novels and personal experiences aren't enough for us to form our theology, obviously. We need to see these things in Scripture. There's an amazing story in 2 Kings where Elisha was under siege. He was going to be attacked by an army, and his servant went out one morning, and the town they were in was surrounded by horses and chariots and soldiers, and he just freaked out, and he went running in. "Elisha, we're in so much trouble. There's all this huge army. What are we going to do? What are we going to do?" And Elisha's response to him was basically, "You know, the battle we're in here, it's only half the story." And he said, "Because those with us are in much greater number than those you see." And the servant was perplexed, and he said, "Well, what do you mean?" And so Elisha prayed, "God, open his eyes that he might see what I see." And his eyes were opened, and there above the hills, he could see horses and chariots of fire, so many more than those physical ones that were surrounding the town. It's almost like God said, "I see your horses and your chariots, and I raise you horses and chariots of fire." Right? And some of you have read that story, and some of you have found yourself thinking, "Wow, if God would just do that for me, if he would just peel back the drapes so that I could see what's going on in the spiritual realm, just see it with my eyes, then I would believe it, then I would get it." And if you've ever wanted that, if you've ever wished for that, today is your day. Because I'm going to take you to Daniel chapter 10, and that's exactly what God's going to do. He is going to peel it back, and he's going to show you what happens behind the scenes in the spiritual realm. Daniel chapter 10, verse 1. "In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a revelation," or a truth, or a message, "was given to Daniel," who is called Belshazzar. His message was true, and it concerned a great war. The understanding of the message came to him in a vision. So remember, Daniel is in exile in Babylon, been there nearly 70 years at this point. And he's about to describe the last vision in our book. It's going to take all of chapter 11 and all of chapter 12 as we get through it. And this chapter, chapter 10, sets up that magnificent vision. "At that time, I, Daniel, mourned for 3 weeks. I ate no choice food, no meat or wine touched my lips, and I used no lotions at all until 3 weeks were over." If you are in mourning today, if you are grieving today, you might put on dark clothes to signify that you're in mourning or grief. Now, back in this day, people would forego anything that had to do with feasting or parties if they were mourning or praying or fasting about something. So they wouldn't eat their rich foods, and they wouldn't drink the wine, and many times wouldn't even put the beautiful oil and ointment on their skin because they were in mourning and they were in prayer. And apparently that's what Daniel was doing here in verses 2 and 3. Note, he mourned for 3 weeks. After 3 weeks, verse 4, on the 24th day of the first month, I was standing on the bank of the great river, the Tigris, and I looked up, and there before me was a man dressed in linen with a belt of fine gold from Uphaz around his waist. His body was like a topaz, that's a gemstone. His face was like lightning, his eyes like flaming torches, his arms and legs like the gleam of burnished bronze. Notice there's light all around him, and his voice is like the sound of a multitude. Okay, so this is better than a cross between Fabio and John Cena, isn't it? I mean, this is totally other, completely remarkable, absolutely distinctive. That who was this man dressed in linen? Linen, of course, was the fabric of the priestly class. So some have thought it was some kind of priest. But as you continue to read through the chapter, you see that this person does supernatural things. This is a heavenly being of some kind, not a regular man. So who is he? There's really kind of four options that are floating around out there. One is that this is a visitation of the pre-incarnate Christ. Every once in a while in the Old Testament, Jesus, before he was born in Bethlehem, the Son of God, actually shows up. Sometimes he's called the angel of the Lord. Other times are moments of seeing him or talking with him. And some people believe that this is Jesus. I don't think it is. There's no indication in the text that it's the Son of God. And this man in linen is about to be engaged in a 21-day battle with a demon. And if you know anything about Jesus, when he got in a battle with a demon, it did not last 21 days.
Pete Briscoe and his message, The Unseen Battle, a message that will change the way you see this spiritual battle. Pete returns in just a moment. You know you can check out the free Telling the Truth mobile app? With it, you'll hear daily programs, read and comment on Briscoe devotions, find relevant teaching, and share your thoughts and prayers on the community wall. Get the Telling the Truth app through your app store or at tellingthetruth.org. And remember, you can give to support Telling the Truth on our mobile app or via text when you send TTT to 313131. Text TTT to 313131. Let's go back now to more from Pete.
It was just like, over. So I don't think this is Jesus. A second option is that it's just a presentation of God himself. But in chapter 12, this man in linen actually swears by someone greater than himself. So obviously there's no one greater than God, so this can't be God. So maybe it's Gabriel. Some people think it's Gabriel, and it might have been Gabriel. He's already appeared a couple of times in our text, but each time that Gabriel appears in the book of Daniel, he is named as Gabriel, and there's no name given here. So we'll probably land on the idea that it's simply an angel whose name we don't know, but an angel nevertheless. And this angel makes quite an impression on Daniel, doesn't he? I, Daniel, was the only one who saw the vision. Those who were with me did not see it, but such terror overwhelmed them that they fled and hid themselves. So the draperies were pulled back so that Daniel could see, but no one else that was with him could see. But they were so struck by the presence of something in their midst that they ran away. I mean, angels are impressive, aren't they? They're really impressive. So I was left alone gazing at this great vision. I had no strength left. My face turned deathly pale and I was helpless. And then I heard him speaking. And as I listened to him, I fell into a deep sleep, my face to the ground. Have you ever seen someone pass out? It's a terrifying thing, actually, because their bodies go limp and they hit the ground like a sack of potatoes. It's awful. And I think that's what the text is describing here. I think Daniel saw this angel and boop, he was on the ground, passed out. A hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees. And he said, Daniel, you are who is highly esteemed. Consider carefully the words I'm about to speak to you. And stand up, for I have now been sent to you. When he said this to me, I stood up, but he was still trembling. And then he continued, do not be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come in response to them. Okay, now look at the time clue here. Since the first day that you set your mind, since the first day you started mourning and praying, that was 21 days ago. Since that day, I was sent. So the angel's been on the road for 21 days, which begs the question, what took him so long? Angels can travel faster than that. There's absolutely no reason it should have taken him that long. But apparently there was. And we're about to find out why. Verse 13. But the prince of the Persian kingdom resisted me 21 days. The word resisted is akmod. It means to stand or to take a stand or to stand in the way of, to prevent or restrict something. Someone was standing in this angel's way. Someone was not letting him get to Daniel. Who was it? The prince of the Persian kingdom. Who is this guy? John Calvin thought he was a literal human prince, King Cambyses of Persia. But most modern commentators see him as a spiritual being. And as we continue in the text, I think that becomes quite obvious. It's an angel, but an evil angel, a fallen angel, a demon. A demon who apparently influences the affairs of Persia and the Persian Empire because he is the prince of the Persian kingdom. And he is in opposition to God's people. So right here in this text, we're getting a little glimpse behind the scenes to a different plane, to a completely different existence, one that we cannot see. One that we cannot see, but friends, it is as real as the chair you are sitting in right now. It's that real. He's giving us a glimpse into a cosmic war that is taking place that we can't see. In 1 Thessalonians 2:18, Paul describes a scene after the cross where he says, we wanted to come to you. Certainly I, Paul, did again and again. But Satan blocked our way. That sounds familiar, doesn't it? The prince of Persia blocked the way of the angel that Daniel needed to hear from. And here, Satan is blocking Paul's way. This is one thing that Satan wants to do. You see, there is a beautiful truth in this book. It's the magnificent truth of Christ. It's a revelation. And God, by his Spirit, wants to reveal the truth of the gospel to anyone who will hear it. And Satan doesn't want to lose us to grace, and he will do everything in his power to distract you from the message of Christ, everything. He still does it. He still stands in the way. He still tries to keep people confused and to keep people from seeing the beauty of the good news of Christ. And so it's very fair to say that this battle we're in, it's only half the story. Paul says it this way in Ephesians 6, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Those of us who are in Christ, we are at war. But the battle we're in here, it's only half the story. There are disarmed demons that are active, but they obey Jesus every time. There are disarmed demons that are active, and they obey Jesus every time. So the next time you find yourself in a battle, here's what I want you to think. This battle that I'm in, it's only half the story. In fact, think of a battle you're in right now. I know some of you are in a battle. Think of it right now. That battle you're in, it's only half the story. There's more to it than you think. There are disarmed demons that are actively involved, trying to bring destruction in your life. But remember, they obey Jesus. They have to. So the next time you're fighting with your spouse, say, Pete, we never fight. Well, then you don't have a marriage. Healthy marriages fight. They do it lovingly and they do it fairly. They've got to get to the bottom of the issues and they got to sort through them. But sometimes our fights get ugly. Sometimes flesh gets involved. And please hear me. Satan hates unity. Satan hates Christ. Satan hates family. Satan hates marriage. He hates all those things. Marriage is a picture of the union between Christ and the church. He hates it. Family is a picture of the union of us with God the Father. He hates it. So the next time you're having a fight with your spouse, One of you gets in the flesh, the other one responds in the flesh. All of a sudden, all bets are off and harsh words are spoken and hurtful things are done. And in the midst of all that, as it's starting to spiral out of control, here's what you need to remember. Oh, this battle we're in right now, it's only half the story. There are disarmed demons that are active right now in this, but they have to obey Jesus. And so we just stop. And one of us says, wait a minute. We got to recognize what's going on here. We're under attack. Just say the words. We're under attack. Let's pray. And you put your heads down and you pray. One of you prays, Lord Jesus, do something. Jesus, do something. Protect us. Protect our unity. Protect our marriage. Protect. Libby and I have done this hundreds of times. And there is a peace that comes.
This is Telling the Truth with Stuart, Jill, and Pete Briscoe. Today, Pete has shared a thought-provoking message about how angels see spiritual warfare. He's coming right back to finish up this message with a final thought. Right now, Telling the Truth is looking for 100 special listeners who will commit to become an ongoing monthly partner for the very first time. Your financial support is a vital part of reaching people all around the world so that they can experience the abundant life of Jesus. We'll say thank you with Pete's new series, delving into the topic of spiritual warfare and how to defeat Satan's attacks, called Confronting the Enemy, and the companion booklet, A Defeated Foe. Please call today to become a monthly partner. Phone 1-800-889-5388. This is the last week and time is running out. Call now, 1-800-889-5388. Now, to close out today's message, here's Pete Briscoe.
You're having the whole family over for dinner. You're so excited. It's going to be so great. Dream Norman Rockwell. It's just be great. You've been cooking all day. You've been planning. You're so excited. Everyone arrives, just sitting around the table. And then he says to her something she says back to him, and right? Not today. Can't we just get along today? Just once. You know what Satan thinks when your family's getting together? Satan thinks, yes, an opportunity to divide. That's what Satan thinks when your family gets together. He hates families. So it's escalating around the room. And you're looking around and you know exactly what's going on. And so you say it. Hey, everyone, quiet, 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 quiet! Everyone's looking at you. Here's what's happening here. This little battle we're in, it's only half the story. There's other stuff going on here. We're going to pray against it right now. Everyone, bow your head, close your eyes. Lord Jesus, do something. Jesus, you take control. Jesus, protect our family. Jesus. Satan hates the church. He hates your small group. Because in your small group, you guys are growing in your walk with Jesus together. You're loving each other. It's all the stuff he hates. Because there are disarmed demons that are active right now, but they have to obey. The next time you're tempted, that's a battle, isn't it? Maybe you're tired. Maybe you're vulnerable. You're hurting. You're struggling. And temptation starts rushing over you like a flood stage stream in Texas. And you feel like the waves are going to wash you away. And you think it's hopeless. I've just got to go with this temptation. No, you don't. Because in the midst of it, you can remember this battle I'm in, it's only half the story. There are forces at work on me right now, and I need to address that. Lord Jesus, you know what I'm being tempted to do. I don't want to go there. It's not who I am. Lord Jesus, do something. Jesus, I surrender myself to you. Jesus, do something. Protect me. If you do fall into sin, here's what Satan's going to do right afterwards. It's called condemnation. If you really were a Christian, you wouldn't have done that. Christians don't do that. Such a hypocrite. And you're going to recognize it and you're going to realize, you know, this battle I'm in right now, it's half the story. Jesus, do something. Jesus, I choose to rest on your truth of who I am.
Pete Briscoe on today's Telling the Truth. We'd like to invite you to become one of 100 new Telling the Truth monthly partners. When you call 1-800-889-5388 and give your first monthly gift, we'll say thank you with Pete Briscoe's new series, Confronting the Enemy. This series, along with its companion booklet, gives you a glimpse into the spiritual battle that's going on around you and how to fight the enemy's attacks. Call 1-800-889-5388 right now and become one of Telling the Truth's new monthly partners. This is the final week. 1-800-889-5388 or give online today at tellingthetruth.org. Monday, Jill begins a special series about the Proverbs 31 woman. As you'll see, the Proverbs 31 woman is about a woman's need for approval and self-esteem and where she can find it. It's not a to-do list. It's a blessing, as Jill will explain. Listen next week and experience life here on Telling the Truth.